Welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. This week saw massive strategic hardware bets, urgent ethical crackdowns, and a blurring of the line between consumer tech and enterprise risk. In the headlines, hardware and strategy. The deep dive story this week is the Google Anthropic chip deal and IBM running key quantum algorithms on conventional AMD chips. This signals a fierce new M&A era, where the competitive edge is less about models and more about who owns and optimizes the foundational silicon. Risk and regulation. We saw OpenAI crack down on deepfakes after major backlash in Hollywood, and a startling open letter demanding a halt to superintelligence development from leading researchers. The regulatory spotlight is now intense on generative models as deepfakes worsen across video tools, raising the cost of legal and reputational risk for every enterprise. The MLOps footprint. Amazon plans to replace 600,000 workers with robots, underscoring the shift to automated warehouse operations. Meanwhile, Yelp went full stack on AI, from menus to receptionists, proving that every consumer-facing platform is now an AI company first. We dive into all these stories, plus the MLK deepfake scandal, the AI search battle heating up, and the deep AI angle on the World Series and the tragic Alaska Airlines data center outage. A clear lesson in single-region failure for centralized inference co-pilots. But first, a quick word for the enterprise builders. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech, getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. But are you reaching the right 1%? AI Unraveled is the single destination for senior enterprise leaders, CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who need production-ready solutions like yours. We have reserved a limited number of mid-roll ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes, governed AI infrastructure. This is not spray and pray advertising. It is a direct line to your most valuable buyers. Don't wait for your competition to claim the remaining airtime. Secure your mid-roll spot here, link in show notes. Now let's unravel the week in AI.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. This week, we're really zooming in, cutting through all the noise to focus on just 7 days, October 19th through the 26th, 2025.
Right.
Because this period, well, it wasn't really about some single huge AI breakthrough. It felt more like the moment the industry's ambition, its massive reach, just slammed hard into reality. The reckoning.
Absolutely. It was a real inflection point. You could see that relentless push for new models, for expansion, hitting these hard walls, intellectual property, regulation, even personal identity.
Yeah.
So our mission today really is to give you the playbook for understanding that collision,
yeah.
What actually happened.
And I think we absolutely have to start with the most dramatic moment, the biggest public retreat we've seen from big tech this year. OpenAI basically conceding to Hollywood.
Definitely.
Just a perfect example of how fast tech forces a crisis. And this one was all about identity rights.
Yeah, the boiling point was actor Bryan Cranston. He found these deepfakes of himself online, totally unauthorized.
Right.
And one was particularly strange, surreal even. A clip showing him taking a selfie with Michael Jackson, who's deceased, obviously.
Wow.
This wasn't just, you know, a technical issue for him. It felt like a violation, an existential thing.
And it wasn't just him, right? His story immediately pulled focus back to these other simmering issues.
Exactly. Like the Martin Luther King Jr. estate, they'd complained about disrespectful depictions, they called them. And Zelda Williams, Robin Williams's daughter, her very public, very emotional plea, asking people to stop generating videos of her late father.
Such a difficult situation.
It really felt like the moment the creative community just collectively said, okay, enough.
So what was the mechanism here? Because it happened fast.
Well, that's what's crucial. This wasn't one person filing a lawsuit, which takes forever.
Right.
This was collective power, economic power, unified. You had SAG-AFTRA, the actors union.
Okay, the labor side.
Yeah, and then two of the biggest talent agencies, UTA and CAA, powerhouses.
Representing the economic leverage,
The
stars.
Precisely. They put out this joint statement, devastating for OpenAI.
Because OpenAI was working on Sora 2, their next big video thing.
Right. And suddenly they're looking at alienating basically every major creator they'd want using it or whose likeness might be used in it.
So the policy change was pretty much immediate then.
It had to be. They were forced to ditch their old opt-out system.
Which put all the work on the celebrity to constantly monitor everything.
Exactly. A nightmare. They had to switch to a strict opt-in policy. Now, you want to generate a public figure. You need their explicit, verified consent, period.
That's a huge shift.
It is. And the precedent is crystal clear now. Unified industry pressure, especially when it combines labor and IP control, can force policy change from a huge AI lab way faster than the courts.
And you expect other industries to copy this playbook? Music, visual arts.
Oh, absolutely. Anyone fighting similar IP battles is watching this very closely. This is the template now.
Okay, so while OpenAI is busy dealing with this Hollywood reckoning, putting up guardrails.
The reckoning part, yeah.
They're still pushing their reach, like full steam ahead on other fronts.
Oh, yeah. They weren't deterred, not really. They just doubled down elsewhere. It's that kind of dual strategy that makes them so formidable.
So where were they pushing?
Well, first, reports suggest they're moving hard into music generation, building an advanced tool apparently capable of complex compositions.
Okay, but that sounds like walking right into a legal minefield. We know Suno, Udio, those other music AI companies.
They're already getting sued by the RIA, yeah. Big copyright lawsuits over training data. Alleged theft of recordings on an industrial scale.
So why would OpenAI jump into that? Especially if reports are true, they're using copyrighted sheet music, potentially from places like Juilliard, for training.
It suggests, I think, that they see the potential market value as just outweighing the legal risk or the cost.
They're betting they can win a fair use argument or just pay for licenses later.
Pretty much. Either absorb the cost or fight it out legally. They have the resources. The second big push, of course, is the web.
Right. Atlas, their new browser, yeah. Built on Google's Chromium. Like many others.
Yeah, the browser itself isn't the revolution.
It's what's inside it.
Exactly. Atlas is built around ChatGPT. It's conversational browsing. And for premium users, there's this agent mode.
What does that do?
It can handle complex multi-step tasks for you, like research flights and hotels across different sites, then actually book them.
Ah, okay. So that's a direct shot at Google search, trying to get between the user and Google's core business.
A very sophisticated attempt, yes. Positioning themselves as the primary interface.
Speaking of big strategic moves, let's talk about Meta, because that was kind of paradoxical this week.
Right. Zuckerberg's all about superintelligence, pushing that vision hard.
But then they cut, what, around 600 jobs from their AI unit?
Yeah.
Specifically hitting respected teams like FAIR.
Yeah, the Fundamental AI Research Group. Highly respected.
So if they're supposedly all in on AI's future, why cut skilled AI people? It seems, you know, contradictory.
It looks that way on the surface, but it wasn't really about saving payroll. It was a consolidation, a pretty ruthless internal one, actually.
How so?
Well, FAIR was foundational, more academic, kind of distributed research. Excellent work, but maybe not laser focused on Zuckerberg's specific singular goal of superintelligence.
So dismantling those teams.
Yeah.
What was the real goal?
You could call it the compute coup. Think about the scarcest resource in AI right now.
Processing power. GPUs.
Exactly. Those big GPU clusters. They're incredibly valuable and tightly allocated by breaking up these other research groups.
They're taking back their compute budget.
They are effectively repossessing the compute power allocated to those teams, seizing it, essentially.
Right.
And they funnel the best remaining talent and that massive compute budget straight into this elite, very secretive TBD lab that is focused purely on superintelligence.
So it's prioritizing the moonshot over everything else.
Over more distributed. Maybe more independent research. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just shows how expensive and competitive that race for AGI or superintelligence has become.
Okay, let's shift back to trust, because that underpins everything we're talking about. We were promised self-regulation for deepfakes, remember? The C2PA standard.
Content credentials, yeah. That digital watermark idea, supposed to be tamper-proof, persistent labeling.
But it seems like that whole system just collapse.
I think it's an absolute failure, total failure of self-policing. The promise was the label travels with the content, right?
Yeah.
But the Washington Post did this big test, uploaded an AI video with the CGPA data to like 8 major platforms, Facebook, TikTok, X. They all basically ignored it, failed completely to display the authenticity markers visibly, stripped it out, or just didn't implement it.
Was there anyone who did anything?
Well, Google's YouTube did add a warning, but they buried it. You had to click deep into the video's description, into the metadata to even find it. Not exactly prominent.
Why? Why are platforms refusing to do this? If the tech exists to label fake stuff, why ignore it?
I mean, it really boils down to the money, doesn't it? The business incentive.
How so?
Platforms have this huge disincentive to label viral content, stuff getting tons of engagement, as fake or AI generated.
Because transparency might slow it down, lower engagement.
Exactly. Lower trust, slow down shares, hurt engagement. And engagement is the golden metric. That's what drives ad revenue.
So prioritize engagement over, well, truth.
Seems that way. Look at YouTube's other move, this new likeness detection tool for creators.
Right.
It lets high-profile creators request takedowns of deepfakes using their likeness. It's reactive. It placates their most valuable users.
ODOT actually implementing platform-wide transparency that might hurt the numbers overall.
Precisely. Classic appeasement, really. Protect the stars, but avoid the broader, potentially costly transparency issue.
So self-regulation failed, which means regulation is stepping in.
The regulatory hammer is definitely falling now globally. We're seeing a big shift away from voluntary stuff towards actual legal mandates.
Where are we seeing this most strongly?
India is taking a really aggressive approach. They've got draft IT rules requiring mandatory prominent labeling of synthetic content.
How prominent?
They're talking about the label covering at least 10% of the visual area or the duration.
10%? That's really visible. You couldn't miss that.
No, it forces immediate acknowledgement that it's synthetic. Unprecedented visibility, really.
And here in the U.S.?
Well, enforcement of the Take Eye Down Act is coming up next year. That targets the non-consensual deepfake porn issue.
Okay.
And there's other legislation pending, like the End No Fakes Act. That aims to ban unauthorized AI voice and likeness replicas, a direct legislative echo of the whole Bryan Cranston situation.
Right, connecting back to that identity crisis.
The message from governments is getting pretty clear. That old safe harbor protection platforms had for user content.
Mm-hmm.
It's shrinking fast when it comes to AI-generated fakes.
They're shifting the liability back onto the platforms.
Seems like it. Shifting accountability for the fakes onto the giant platforms that amplify them, not just leaving it with the person who uploaded it.
Okay, so away from the controversies and regulations for a moment, mm-hmm. Where's the actual money flowing? You mentioned this maturation towards specialized AI.
Yeah, what we're calling vertical AI. This is the enterprise gold rush phase.
Maybe.
Meaning, general AI models like ChatGPT, they're impressive, sure, but they're generic. Big companies need custom solutions, proprietary,
mm-hmm.
and crucially, brand-safe solutions built on their own data.
Like Adobe's AI Foundry.
Exactly. They're building custom generative models for huge clients. Think Home Depot, Disney.
So Disney gets an AI that only knows Disney stuff.
Pretty much. Trained only on Disney's own approved data. So it generates images that look like Disney, talk like Disney, without the risk of, you know, weird hallucinations or pulling in copyrighted material from the wider web. Total brand safety.
And in other sectors, like science.
Anthropic rolled out Claude for Life Sciences, integrating their AI Claude with research tools like 10x Genomics, PubMed.
Making it easier for scientists.
Yeah, lowering the barrier, letting researchers use natural language to query and analyze these incredibly complex biological data sets, speeding up research, potentially quite dramatically.
And finance. OpenAI's Project Mercury. That sounded wild. Hiring over 100 former bankers from Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan.
Yeah, people who used to be some of the highest paid junior analysts and associates in the world.
To do what? Train AI.
To train AI models specifically on junior investment banking tasks, complex financial modeling, building those detailed pitch decks, first drafts of market analysis.
Automating the expensive grunt work.
That seems to be the goal. Automating high-cost, high-volume tasks that normally need armies of entry-level analysts. A very targeted play in a very lucrative sector.
But okay, despite all this investment, all this vertical specialization, we're also hearing some serious reality checks from inside the industry itself.
Oh, definitely. The biggest maybe came from Andreas Karpathy, OpenAI co-founder. He basically dismissed the current hype around agentic AI, you know, these autonomous systems marketed as virtual assistants or coworkers. He called it slipe.
Slop. That's pretty blunt, especially for tech being sold for millions to corporations.
It is blunt. He argued the systems are still cognitively lacking, fundamentally overhyped. He even suggested the hype might be more about raising funds than actual current capability.
He thinks real autonomous agents are further off.
He said maybe a decade away from being truly reliable. A big reality check.
And that technical skepticism, it contrasts sharply with the other big warning this week, the existential one.
Right. The open letter. Over 800 people signing on. Big names. Jeffrey Hinton, one of the godfathers of AI, Steve Wozniak, Prince Harry, oddly enough, 5 Nobel laureates.
All demanding what?
Demanding a halt, a pause on developing superintelligence until we can guarantee it'll be safe.
So you've got Karpathy saying today's stuff is slop and Hinton saying tomorrow's stuff might end us all.
It perfectly captures the anxiety, doesn't it? You've got executives selling the current agents, engineers saying they're not ready, and pioneers worried about the ultimate endgame, like the industry is speaking three different languages at once.
Okay, let's try and tie some of this reach and reckoning together with a real-world story, the Louvre robbery.
Yes, the $108 million jewel heist. Broad daylight. Yeah. Very brazen.
But the reckoning part wasn't the crime itself, was it? It was the digital fallout.
Exactly. The failure of evidence. This photo taken outside the museum just went completely viral.
The man in the fedora and umbrella.
Yeah. And instantly, social media decides, that's him. The lead detective looks like something out of a film noir. Globally accepted as fact almost immediately.
Total fabrication, though.
Complete fabrication. The fedora detective. It just shows how fast human-driven misinformation can spread based on nothing but an image and imagination. A tendency generative AI is now set to automate, potentially infinitely.
But the irony is the actual investigation.
The actual investigation? Yeah, 100 detectives working it. They're relying heavily on the reach of AI-powered systems.
Oh.
Fusing video from multiple cameras, using re-identification models to track people across feeds, trajectory analytics to predict movements, monitoring the gem trade.
So AI is both powering the fantasy fake and the real painstaking police work.
Exactly. The fake viral narrative versus the quiet essential tool of the actual truth finding. Perfect illustration of the week.
So wrapping this up, it feels like three key tensions really defined this week.
I think so. First, the crisis of identity. Bryan Cranston, the forced consent rules. Who owns your digital self?
Second, the crisis of evidence. The C2PA watermark failure. How do we trust what we see online? And third, the crisis of ambition. Carpathy calling agents slop versus the call to halt superintelligence. How fast should we go, and can we even control it?
And the synthesis, I think, the thing connecting a lot of this is that clear move towards specialized vertical AI, Project Mercury in finance, Adobe's AI foundry for brands.
Right. The powerful AI getting locked inside corporate gardens.
Exactly. The most advanced, specialized intelligence is increasingly being built and housed within these closed, proprietary corporate ecosystems, trained on their private data.
Which leads to a pretty big closing question for our listeners, maybe.
I think it does. If this powerful, tailored AI lives inside private corporate walls, trained only on their data, does that concentration of power and the unique knowledge that AI develops from that private data ultimately make the technology easier or harder for governments to understand and regulate in the long run?
When truth or capability is proprietary, what does oversight even look like?
What does it mean for public knowledge versus corporate knowledge? It's a huge question.
Definitely something to chew on.
Okay,
that's our deep dive for this week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening.
That's it for today's deep dive. We hope you walked away with actionable insights for your enterprise strategy. Before you go, let me remind you of the unparalleled value of this platform. AI Unraveled delivers deep, uncompromised technical insight that keeps our audience, senior enterprise leaders, tuned in to the very last minute. That sustained attention is the best place for your ad. This is your opportunity for a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who sign off on high-stakes infrastructure. Stop wasting budget on general marketing noise. Secure your high-impact premium ad campaign right here. Email us today to reserve your mid-roll package, info@djamgatech.com. Thank you for listening to AI Unraveled. We'll be back tomorrow with more.